There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Behind a chain-link fence, an immense electrical transformer. People exit through what is marked as Security Gate 22 as officers check their ID papers.
Parkinson, chemical warfare. Amberley, hydrogen armament. Mills, germ warfare research. Sturka, hydrogen armament. You boys are pretty busy up there, aren't you?
Very.
Sturka, past the gate, lights a cigarette.
Hold the light, will you, Sturka?
Says a man in a white hat. Sturka lights the man's cigarette.
Long days, huh?
Long days.
Your department's going full blast, isn't it? It's coming, boy. It's really coming, and a big one, too. While we're talking here, I bet the military's getting all set. Got it all mapped out, I bet. Talk is 48 hours. You wait and see if I'm not right. 48 hours, we'll have them aloft. Then whoosh, up, over, and whammo. There goes the enemy. Obliterated, finished.
But what are they doing in the meantime?
What do you mean, what are they doing? Probably retaliating the best way they can. It's a big waste of time, let me tell you. We get the first licks, so they can't do much.
They can go whoosh, up, over, and whammo.
Absolutely. But not so many. Not so properly aimed. Not so skillfully carried out.
So instead of losing 50 million people, we lose only 35, hmm?
You a defeatist, Sturka? That's dangerous thinking. You better mind what you say.
And what I think, too, hmm?
Yeah. And what you think.
Good night, Carling. See you tomorrow.
Sturka walks off.
Quitting time at the plant. Time for supper now. Time for families. Time for a cool drink on a porch. Time for the quiet rustle of leaf-laden trees that screen out the moon. And underneath it all, behind the eyes of the men, hanging invisible over the summer night, is a horror without words.
Sturka stands in front of a house.
For this is the stillness before storm. This is the eve of the end.
In the house. Sturka paces across the living room, still wearing his work badge on his lapel. A young woman enters.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, baby. Where's your mom?
Oh, she's out in the back trying to urge some radishes up out of the ground or something. Oh, no, you don't. Not before we have our dance.
Some other time, honey.
He turns off the music. Goes over and sits on the couch. His daughter sits across from him.
Dad?
What, Tootie?
What's the matter?
Nothing serious. Just feeling my years, I guess. You, my darling, your beautiful face, your maturing ways, you suddenly remind me that my youth is upstairs in the attic, spread out over a few photo albums.
Is that all?
Is that all? That's quite enough.
Dad? Don't you like your job? Is that the problem?
Job? It's all right. It's a job.
Oh, I mean just having to work on the kind of things that you do. Fever bombs and hydrogen bombs and gas and things like that.
No, I'm just a cog in a wheel, Jody. I mean, look at it this way. In one bomb, there are perhaps 1,000 pieces, and every piece requires a team of 50, 60, 70 people. Looking at it like that, I'm not quite as responsible as if I...
A woman enters.
Hello, darling.
Everyone I've talked to lately, they've been noticing it.
Noticing what, Joe?
That something's wrong. That something's... Well, something's in the air. That something's going to happen. And everybody's afraid. Everyone, Dad, why?
He leans forward.
People are afraid because they make themselves afraid. They're afraid because they subvert every great thing ever discovered. Every fine idea ever thought, every marvelous invention ever conceived. They subvert it, Jody. They make it crooked and devious. And then too late. Far too late, they ask themselves the question, why? And then it's too late. Everything is too late.
He goes over to the fireplace.
Invite Jerry Ryden and his wife over tonight, will you, Eve? We'll have some cards or something.
Well, isn't Jerry out of town? Isn't he testing some sort of aircraft up north?
No, he's back. He came back this morning. I told him we'd phone them. You'll be there, Jody, won't you? He'd like to see you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't. I've got a date. Maybe I could get in a little early.
Break it, will you, Jody? I'd like you home tonight.
Why, Dad, I can't... Oh, all right, Dad.
You know, Jerry has some very interesting stories. He has a fascinating job. He flies us.
Bill.
I just thought you might like to have some cards tonight. That's all. I thought it might take your mind off things.
He walks out. Goes upstairs. His wife follows. He goes in a bedroom, takes off his jacket, loosens his tie.
Bill, what is it? What's happening?
What do you feel is happening?
I have so much fear inside me, I can't give it words.
Eve, it's too late for subterfuge now. It's too late for anything. It's coming. It's coming probably within 48 hours.
Will it be bad?
It'll be a holocaust. It will be hell. It'll be the end of everything we know. People, places, ideas, everything. It will all be wiped out.
In 48 hours?
Maybe sooner.
What can we do?
Sit down on the bed a moment, Eve. I want to tell you something. Sit down. We're leaving. You and Jody and I and Jerry and Anne, we're leaving tonight.
Leaving? Leaving for where?
I can't tell you that. I can only tell you that sometime between midnight and one, we've got to be out of here and gone. And no one is to know. I mean no one. Not neighbors, not relatives, not even Jody. She's not to know. And we won't be able to tell her until we're already on our way.
Dad? Jerry Ryden's down here. He'd like to talk to you.
I'm coming down, Jody.
What's it mean? Why is he here now?
That's what I want to find out.
You better tell some funny stories tonight, Jerry. I had to break a date for you.
Bill comes downstairs.
Evening, Jerry.
Hi, Bill.
Now then, you've come to tell me that you won't be able to make it for cards tonight.
Are you kidding? It's high stakes tonight, because I've been very hot at cards the last couple of weeks. No, I just dropped by to talk to you about that,
Your watch giving you trouble again?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably that mainspring. Remember, Jerry, I told you it looked like it had some rust on it.
Jerry holds a pocket watch.
Yeah, let me see it.
Bill takes it. In a workshop.
Now, let's see what we can do.
Bill, we've got to change our plan.
Not yet. Wait a minute.
He turns on a power tool. Looks at the watch through a magnifying lens. Jerry sits down next to him.
Oh, there's your trouble, Jerry, right there. All right, tell me, what's happened?
They put a different guard on the ship, on the 1 a.m. shift. The one I know, the one I've paid, gets off at 11.
And we have to leave before 11.
It'll be a lot tougher. There are more men on the field then. More searchlights.
It doesn't make any difference. We're only your relatives with permission to look at the new ship. That's what our credentials will show.
And just the same, the fewer who know, the better.
Does Anne know yet?
Not everything. Only that we're in danger and we've got to get out. I didn't tell her where or when. What about Eve and Jody?
Eve knows now. Jody will stay home tonight. I told her you were coming over. You and Anne to play cards. You can come around 7, can't you?
Yeah.
He turns off the power tool.
I think that does it, Jerry. Just a little mainspring problem. You might want to have it checked by a jeweler in a month or so. I couldn't get all the rust out of it.
Thanks, Bill, very much.
Peeking in through the window is the man in the white hat as Bill and Jerry walk out of the workshop. That evening, at the card table. Jerry.
16.
Eve.
4.
Anne.
12.
Bill.
8.
Jerry throws some cards on the table. Jody watches from the back of the room.
7.
Huh. You are lucky tonight.
Jody walks across the room.
How about some lemonade and homemade cake, everyone?
Sounds wonderful.
Well, I'll get a tray.
I'll help you.
Come along, young woman, lend a hand.
Bill and Jerry remain at the table. Jerry takes a piece of paper out of his pocket.
I know our destination now.
Pointing with a pencil
right there.
At a map.
How far?
11 million miles.
11 million miles. In a ship we don't even know, we'll leave the atmosphere.
Now, whether or not its pilot can either take off or get you down in one piece, that's the risk, Bill. That's the risk we've been talking about for months now.
It's a good risk when you consider the alternatives. Now, this place we're going to...
It's populated, Bill. It has people on it. We picked up radio waves. Even some snatches of a language not dissimilar to ours. We've been able to decipher a lot of it. With a little help, a couple of breaks, and God, we might even make it there.
Bill, Mr. Carling's here.
At the front door, the man with the white hat. Carling walks over to the card table.
Well, Starker, little cards tonight, eh?
Little cards, Carling. We're just about to cut into a cake. You care to join us?
Well, thank you. Just a little lemonade for me. I was just telling your wife that she makes wonderful lemonade. Hot night, too. This is a night for a front porch or sleep, but nothing else.
All right, you are. We'll be leaving in a couple of minutes. I've been up north testing an aircraft. I haven't had much sleep the last couple of weeks.
Yes, I know the aircraft. They say it's capable of leaving our atmosphere. Talk is it could go to another planet. If the right man flew her.
Well, not for a while yet. Needs a lot more testing.
Oh. Raising his eyebrows.
May I have a cigarette?
He reaches down to the table.
The way I figure it, Mr. Sterka, you owe Anne and me a little money here.
Writing on the back of the map.
Marvelous scientist. Very bad card player.
Oh, I wouldn't believe that. I would have guessed that Sterka here was a good gambler. I'd have guessed he'd gamble on most anything.
Here we are. Lemonade, everyone?
I'll cut the cake, Eve.
You're a little nervous, Mrs. Sterka. You're very nervous.
Carling drinks his lemonade. He reaches down for the piece of paper, picks it up. Bill and Jerry look at each other.
You've lost quite a bit according to this, Sturka.
We won't settle tonight. Next week. Next week we'll give you another chance.
Next week? You do plan ahead. You plan way ahead.
A week?
He puts the paper back down on the table.
A lot can happen in a week. A lot can happen in 48 hours. Well, I'll get on home now. I like to take a walk on warm evenings. Makes me sleep better.
I'll see you to the door, Mr. Conroy.
Thank you.
He picks up his white hat and goes out the door.
Well, I'll probably see you at the office tomorrow.
Yes, of course.
Carling looks up at the sky.
Pretty night. Clear as a bell, nothing but stars.
You ever think, Sturka, that there may be people on those stars, too? Maybe people just like us.
That thought has crossed my mind.
Ever think maybe you'd be happier on one of those than you are here?
That thought has crossed my mind, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Carling walks off. Bill goes back inside.
Time is now. Jody, I've got something to tell you. We're leaving here tonight. There's a ship at the government field. We're all going to get into the car and drive over there now. We've bribed a lot of people, and the ship's loaded with supplies, enough to last us a long time.
You've been planning this.
For 3 months now. But tonight has to be it, Jody. Tonight's the last chance. We've got to leave here tonight.
Why tonight, Jerry?
Because this world as we know it won't exist much longer. It's about to blow itself up, and that may happen by morning.
Well, in the morning, where will we be?
Bill turns his head.
We'll be out in space, Jody. Far out. All right, let's get ready, everybody. Now, I'll back the car out of the garage. Anne, is your bag ready?
It's in our bedroom. I'll go get it.
And let's get going.
Bill.
We've got to answer it.
Bill goes over to the sleek, futuristic telephone whose rotary dial is concealed underneath.
Yes? Tonight? Well, I'm in bed.
He puts down the phone.
That was my division head. They're working tonight. They're sending a car over for me.
Then we better get out of here right now.
I'll get ours.
Eve goes to the table and picks up the lemonade tray.
This is silly, isn't it? We aren't ever coming back here again.
Puts it back down. Arm in arm, they walk out. In the car. The sign reads, "This gate not to be used except in case of emergency. Ministry of Science." The car drives up. Bill and Jerry get out.
That's it.
Looking through the chain link fence, they see the saucer-shaped spacecraft.
Mother, it's going to be all right, isn't it?
In the distance, a flashlight blinks.
Is that our contact?
Yeah, that's him. Eve, flash the lights just once.
She reaches over from the back seat. The flashlight goes on again. And approaches closer and closer. Reaching the gate is Carlin.
Good evening, Starka. You're a long way from home, aren't you?
In the car, Eve puts her arm around Jody.
Now, you two stand there very quietly and breathe through your nose. Very, very quietly.
He turns off the flashlight. Unlocks the gate. Steps out.
Get back in the car, please.
Bill and Jerry step back.
Would you two get in the front seat, please?
Pointing a gun.
Would you three ladies mind getting out? These two gentlemen and I have an engagement with the authorities.
Jody slams the door into him, and Jerry grabs the gun. Bill leaps across the top of the car and puts him in a stranglehold and strangles him. He slides to the ground.
A gate.
They push the gates open, get back in the car, and drive in.
Unauthorized vehicle on field. Unauthorized vehicle on field. Guard Unit 7, approach unauthorized vehicle. Approach unauthorized vehicle and request it to halt.
They pull up in front of the spacecraft. Jerry runs over to the spacecraft and unplugs two large cables. As the other four rush up the stairs, Bill punches aside an approaching guard. Jerry joins them up the stairs and kicks away another guard. The two guards lie on the ground as the stairs retract. The spacecraft flies off. Inside, Jerry monitors a dashboard while Bill jots something down.
Everything all right?
12 o'clock and all is well. Stars look far away.
They are far away. But the one we want, it's not so far, Bill. See it there? The shiny one. The bright one over on the right.
They look out a window.
It's hard to believe there are people there. People like us.
People like us. It's the third planet from the sun, Bill. It's called Earth. That's where we're going. To a place called Earth.
Behind a tiny ship heading into space is a doomed planet on the verge of suicide. Ahead lies a place called Earth, the third planet from the sun. And for William Sterka and the men and women with him, it's the eve of the beginning in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Richard L. Bear. Teleplay by Rod Serling, based on a short story by Richard Matheson. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Fritz Weaver, Edward Andrews, Joe Maross, Denise Alexander, Laurie March, Gene Evans. Director of Photography, Harry Wild. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward DeMalt. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Philip Mitchell. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.